This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome back to Shrink Chicks.
We're so excited. We're always excited. I say that every time. Are we excited?
But no, because we weren't. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about what's happening.
Okay. I'm excited now because
this has been rough. We have been starting to struggle with the podcast.
Well, I think creating the expectation to create content consistently can be overwhelming, especially when there's just a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. There's so many different fucking avenues. There's so many opinions. There's so many goddamn Instagram therapists. This is actually way more pressure than we thought it was going to be. And we, the past few weeks, have sort of been we don't want to do the podcast anymore. This is not feeling like us. We feel like we lost ourselves. So today's episode, back to us.
It's just the two of us.
We're going to do personal versus professional. We're going to go back. Let's fucking OG this. We're going back to our goddamn roots, first episode style. And we're going to see how it goes and see how we feel.
This episode, we really wanted to talk about destigmatizing
medication. Let's talk meds. Now, here's our reminder, which is we're not psychiatrists.
This is a disclaimer. We are not doctors.
So we're not going to talk about what's the right med for you. We do not know. And you probably don't know either. So that's why we have the conversation. But what we want to talk about is the two most common things we hear, which is one, people coming in saying, I want to do this without meds. And then the other side is that people saying, I'll take meds, but I won't go to therapy. So there is a disconnect.
Right.
And what we know is these two things work best together.
Blended.
I love that movie.
You do? How have we never talked about
it? Because you know I'm a closeted Drew Barrymore fan.
Oh, you are, right. I forgot about that.
You forgot I'm a closeted Drew Barrymore fan. I'm obsessed with Drew Barrymore.
Okay, Blended is maybe one of the most underrated movies.
That's a lot of Adam Sandler stuff, though.
It 100%, but I think a lot of them are overrated. I'm not overrated.
A lot of them are rated appropriately. Are you going to tell me Billy Madison is overrated?
No. Love Billy Madison. Love all this. Blended, it has
it's
not.
Just under, yes. Okay, that's fair.
No one's been giving it any sort
of. It is hilarious. Yes. Blended, okay. But what we're talking about is blending therapy and meds.
Which is necessary.
Which is necessary. And let's go into that. Let's talk a little bit about, and I think it's important for us to talk about our own experience with meds. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter we want to admit is that a lot of people have really shitty experiences. A lot of people, their first medication experience is in high school. Meds are not tested on teenagers.
Yes.
And it's bad. And especially for people that are having suicidal thoughts, suicidal ideation, they go on a med and it's just so exacerbated. So I think once you've had that negative experience, it's like, I can never put this in my body again.
And also certain medications work for certain people.
Exactly.
And not others. It's different. Right. Yeah. And so it's different for everyone. And I think It's almost like when you go to a therapist one time and you have a really bad experience and you're like, oh, I'm never going to therapy ever again. Therapy doesn't work for me. Right. Therapy doesn't work.
So let's remember, with everything, black and white thinking is not helpful.
Right.
Right. This is what we talk about is dichotomous thinking. It's the cognitive distortion. And when we say that, meds don't work for me, therapy doesn't work for me. Well, those experiences sound really difficult.
Really
and what
hard.
I'm hearing when people say that is you feel like there's a fear of you're too fucked up for therapy to work, or you're too broken without it being something different,
or medication's going to make it worse.
It's going to make it worse.
Yeah, it's not helpful. Control.
And then there's also still stigma,
right?
Associated that doesn't go away. And then let's talk about the other very real thing, which is you can go and get it from your GP. The reality is a ton of people don't have, one, insurance, two, don't have, for anyone in the United States, remember, we suck. So I know some people listening aren't in the United States. It's horrible here. Right, so a lot of people don't have insurance.
Yeah.
The people that do have insurance, a lot of millennials don't have primary care doctors.
Absolutely. I honestly did not have a primary care doctor until one of my friends became a nurse practitioner.
Yeah. And then you got one.
And I was like, now you're my I was like, thank God, I have a primary care doctor.
So a lot of people, where we start getting meds is from our GP or from our PCP.
And psychiatry appointments are so expensive that it's also...
So let's talk about that. So if you're paying out of pocket, your initial cost is typically $800 on average.
Right.
And that is to get a pretty reasonable appointment in the next week or so. Now, if you want to go through insurance, which is much more reasonable cost, there is like months long waiting list.
Yep.
So people get stuck between one, can I even afford to do this? Two, can I wait to do this? And three, fuck it, I'll keep just white knuckling it, grinning and bearing it, because that's the only way to survive.
Right. And it's hard to make that change. And also, if you start a medication, you have a bad reaction to it, you know, part of the reason why it's easy to just say, okay, well, fuck this, I'm not going to take medication in general, is because it's scary to keep trying.
Of course.
It's not easy to keep trying.
Same thing with seeing a new therapist.
Exactly. It's scary. It's vulnerable. You have to really be present with yourself to be like, how is this affecting me? And also, medications can take weeks to months to really get into your system.
Yeah.
And during that time can have really bad side effects. To go through that over and over again, trying different medications
Let's be honest for a second. What's the number one side effect you hear people are scared of?
Gaining weight. Or sexual side effects.
Right. Okay. So here's the two most significant things we hear. I don't want to gain weight, which is a whole other conversation about all of our internalized fat phobia.
Yeah.
And what would that mean? To have stable mental health where you're content and happy in your life, but weigh a little bit more, right? Like, that's like literally what people are saying.
Yes.
The other very real one is my depression or my anxiety is already having me to have very low arousal and low desire.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go on some med that could essentially eradicate it.
That's
real. I mean, that's a very real thing that could happen.
Absolutely. And there absolutely are side effects to different medications. It's something to talk to your psychiatrist or doctors about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a reason to completely avoid meds altogether if it's something that could really, really help you.
Yes. I can't tell you how often I've had people that come in, avoid, don't want to do meds, eventually end up going on them, and they say to me, why did I suffer for so long?
I have seen clients for years before they decided they wanted to go on meds, and it was so life-changing.
Yes.
It changed our work too. Part of the reason why medication can be really helpful is like the physical side effect, the physical ways that like anxiety, depression can affect you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of us just have a chemical imbalance. It's genetic.
And right, so we're sitting here talking about anxiety, depression, but there's also a million other things.
Absolutely.
Bipolar, schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder. There's all of these different diagnoses that medications are incredibly important for.
Right.
But I think that there, interestingly enough, there's like less of a stigma of taking your meds if the diagnosis is bipolar or schizophrenia or something, because like, oh, well, you really need that. But if it's depression or anxiety, I should be able to just get over this on my own.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the therapy group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
And you know what I equate it to and often describe this to clients is if you struggle with migraines, for mm-hmm. example, no one would ever say, oh, well, you should just try to not take any medication for that, right?
No.
You should try to just manifest that on your own. Feeling
this
manifest. I brought it out.
I can't.
You should try to just figure that out on your own because clearly it's a deficit on your part.
Exactly.
You're doing something
wrong.
Be
stronger.
No one would ever say that if you had migraines, if you struggle with anything physical. Mm-hmm. And it is the same thing. Some of us, just as I said, some of us are born with a chemical imbalance, right? It is passed down. And so that is not something that is in your control. It is helpful to go to therapy to have tools to manage
it. But
the chemical imbalance is not in your control. It is something that is physical that manifests itself through your mental health.
But there's like this other part where it's like, what is it about human beings that like are so, this is 2021. We got a lot of science, right? Why suffer? You know, this is something I hear all the time of like, would you ever like this idea of like grit and bear it, right? Like why?
Is it grit and bear it?
I don't have no idea. I assumed it was grit. You know, grit your teeth.
Oh, you might be. I thought it was grin and bear it.
That sounds more correct, but mine makes more sense, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it's Someone almost Google like, it. I'm sorry. I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but what's that other one that I always thought it was something else? We'll play it by ear.
And what did you think it was?
Play it by year.
Every year.
Like, I thought that made more sense, right? Like, you're playing it by year. Like, you're playing it by, no, still no.
Yeah, that
doesn't.
How
does play it by ear mean?
Anyway, I actually don't know that either, but year doesn't make sense to me either.
We're going to Google, but if it's now Grin and Barrett or Grin and Barrett, we'll figure it out.
Whatever it is. But right, but we have this ongoing thing of like, I mean, like, oh, like because I'm here or something. Like it's like some weird self-fucking-deprecating, like suffering thing.
Well, it's like you're strong if you can push through this and not.
And like, I don't understand. Our suffering and shaming does not serve the world.
No. And does not. it does not serve us at
no,
all.
Right?
I wonder if, you know, if you just think about just like the generational like transmission of this where their, you know, if you look at it, like, our parents' generation, for example, it was this idea of, like, you know, just, like, shut up and get through it, right? Like, don't acknowledge any of your emotions. Just push through. You are strong if you can push through this and just, like, shove all your emotions down. And so I think, you know, along with destigmatizing mental health and going to therapy comes the destigmatization of taking medication for mental health.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to suffer, just as you're saying. And you don't get a medal if you're suffering through something.
No.
But I think that's the kind of the idea that we have is like, okay, if I can get through this without medication, then like I'm doing something great. You're like torturing yourself.
It is. And it's also like a false sense of control, right? Here is something I can control. If I do all these things. And it's one of those like reminders, which is like a lot of times shit is out of our control.
Yes.
So there's a few things to think about, right? Which is if you had a shitty experience, that doesn't mean every experience is going to be shitty. Same for therapy, same for meds, same with fucking dating, same, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And how important it is to find teams and providers who will work with you to find the exact right match if that's what feels right for you.
People you feel comfortable with. People,
doctors and therapists together.
Therapists, doctors, ones who are able to communicate with one another.
You can ask them to work collaboratively and connect. You can always sign a release of information.
And that's something that I don't think a lot of people talk about is that it is very helpful to have your therapist collaborate with your doctors or collaborate with your psychiatrist.
Anyone else,
therapists can collaborate with doctors. Like, it's helpful to have a team that's talking to each other.
All you have to do is say, I'd like to sign a release of information, an ROI, for you to speak to my general practitioner. It's super easy. All therapists are able to do that. It's collaboration. It's work. It makes sense.
And sometimes you have to advocate for that.
Yes.
And I think that's what's tough is that we don't, you know, a lot of people don't know that they can do that. So advocate for that. If you have a therapist and you're going to a doctor, you're thinking about trying medication, advocate for them speaking to each other. Mm-hmm. Ask them to speak to each other. For you to have a team that's communicating, talking about your health, that you feel like you can talk to and go to and communicate with as well, it's going to be a lot easier when maybe you are trying medication and the side effects are bad and you need to try something else. Because your therapist can help you recognize what is helping, what's working, what's not working, and can help you talk to your doctor about that.
Another thing that you're able to do if you're interested in going down this path, but very concerned about the side effects, very concerned about finding the right match, especially if you have suicidal ideation, is that there are these genetic tests you can do, right? Which, hey, man, you can get genetic tests for anything these
days. It's amazing.
Right?
You can get genetic tests for your dogs.
I mean, I can find out where my ancestors was. I can find out if I'm allergic to gluten, and I can find out if I'm going to kill myself on a med. I mean, how fabulous.
That's incredible. Have you ever done that?
I haven't done GenSight. So I will say there's mixed reviews, and there's criticism towards it, and I think there's some mixed data on the efficacy of it.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind. Now, there's a ton of GPs and a ton of psychiatrists and psych NPs who are all about these different DNA tests like GenSight that really love them. Mm-hmm. And that's something important to talk to your specific doctor about. But if you're someone who would really feel a lot more comfortable going in with something like that, where there's absolutely nothing wrong, whatever makes you feel more comfortable in the situation, then you can ask your doctor, hey, do you guys provide the GenSight DNA testing for SSIs and SSRIs?
Right. Right. And listen, this, just like therapy, this is a process. It is a process to find the right meds sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
And sometimes that can be exhausting.
But that's the same for anything. If you're on migraine meds, if you're having, like, you know, something with PCOS, I mean, there's a lot of times you have to try different things. And yes, it sucks.
It's exhausting.
Let's not deny how fucking frustrating it can absolutely be. And I think I hear this a lot. One of the things, now keep in mind, I specialize in postpartum and women, so I of course hear it after childbirth very often, but I cannot tell you the amount of times where I have had someone who was so concerned about going on meds, right? So worried, well, what about breastfeeding? What about blah, 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 blah. I don't want to be disconnected. I don't want to be numbed out. And then, like, literally, because there was such a chemical imbalance with the hormones, within 72 hours, they're like, oh my God, I feel completely fucking different.
Right.
Like, the relief that they feel is, like, the most beautiful gift I could ever imagine giving yourself.
And that is what it is. Like, you are giving yourself a gift, as opposed to saying, I need to suffer through this. I am going to give this to myself. I am nurturing myself. And medication is a way to do that.
And like, yeah, like, why? I don't know. It's just such an interesting thing, I think, that goes so much deeper about, like, why we need to suffer.
I know. Well, I think part of the reason why we grow, right, is that we sometimes put ourselves through suffering, or we challenge ourselves in certain ways. Like, I think there might be a survival mechanism to it, is like, if we challenge ourselves enough, then we'll know how to grow. But there's a point where it's not helpful, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that point's pretty
pretty low.
It's like a low threshold for, like, is that helpful at all?
We're also in the business of helping people not suffer. We're
in the business of compassion.
Of compassion. Helping people learn how to not suffer. How to not put themselves through unnecessary suffering.
Yeah.
And I think it is. I think it's something that is perpetuated in our society.
Yeah.
Of,
well, and also that the idea that meds are going to be the end all be all, right? So, like,
that's
the flip side is this, is that, like, the meds aren't going to do everything. If you're in a shitty marriage, Zoloft doesn't help that.
It'll help for a little, because
a fucking asshole, Lamictal doesn't do it, right? Like, so, like, it might help you handle those things.
Yes.
But at the day, you know, it's not going to help pay your student loans.
But I think that can also give you some information, right? So, like, if you start taking meds and you're like, okay, it's helped a little bit, but I'm still struggling with this.
I still hate work every single day.
Right. Maybe mother's still driving me absolutely crazy.
Maybe that's a larger systems change, right? That, like, this is not a cure-all, and it's not going to make your life better. And once again, it's this idea of the magical thinking. Once I weigh a certain amount, I'll be this. Once I have the marriage, I'll do this. Once I'm on the meds, I'll do this. That is magical thinking. It is not real. Meds might help you cope. Coping skills help you cope. Going to therapy might help you. But at the end of the day, if you go back home to the shitty same situation that the whole system has not adapted and it has not changed, you're still going to be having some of these same thoughts and feelings.
Well, I think, too, something that we should note is that, and I think that this might be hard to kind of grasp for a lot of people, is that taking care of your mental health is a never-ending journey.
How disappointing is that?
Like, Emily and I are both therapists. We do our own work in therapy. It is still a never-ending journey for us, but we know that,
right? We suffer every week.
But I think a lot of the times people go to therapy and they're like, okay, I'm going to get these specific tools. And once I get these specific tools, I'm going to be good to go.
Yeah.
And I won't have to work on my mental health because it'll just come naturally.
Yes, yeah.
But the goal, more so, is to make practicing taking care of your mental health like part of your everyday practice throughout your entire life.
So if you're someone who's very solution focused, this is going to be very upsetting
and
to you.
And we are sorry to break this news.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
And, well, like, but it makes me think of, like, something else, too, which is, you know, when we think that there's an end-all be-all, it's this idea that, like, if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? So, like, we had an option, which is, like, keep doing the podcast we were doing and feeling resentful and feeling upset, or you and I have a conversation last week and say, you know what, let's go back to the beginning. We're going to do a shorter episode. We're just going to be the two of us. We're just going to talk the way we are. It's going to be less structured. And we decided to change something.
Yeah. It felt right.
And it felt right. And it felt a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit uncomfortable because we didn't do listener questions. And so then it's like this thing, like, am I upsetting other people, right? So, like, anytime you shift a change, it could upset someone potentially. It could be difficult. People have opinions about it. But here's a disclaimer. You don't have to tell fucking anyone. We didn't tell anyone. We didn't post a thing saying we're not going to do this. We're going to do this. We just did it. Same thing. If you decide you want to go to therapy or go on meds, you don't have to ask the fucking peanut gallery.
That is about you.
That is your...
It's your decision. You get to make that decision. You don't have to talk to a soul about it, or you can.
And it goes back to the thing we've talked about many times before, the difference between privacy and secrecy. Right. It is not a secret to have private health information. Right? Like... And I think it's so true. We get so often before we make a behavior change, we get a million opinions.
Yes. And we ask for a million opinions.
Because we want someone to co-sign. We want someone to say the thing that's going to give us permission. It's going to give us relief. And a lot of times that is just simply not external.
Right.
You have to provide that to yourself. Same thing with stopping seeing a therapist or stopping a med, right? Like, it's about your own thing. And the other thing is usually the opinions we're getting are not professional.
Right. Well, also, and they're based on because they're not professional, right? Like, they're based on that person's own mm-hmm. experience, which might be very different than your experience.
Well, it's not research-based. There's no, right. There's nothing to it, right? I can sit here and tell research-based items.
Right.
But guess what? Susie next door probably doesn't. She probably just knows about the time she took a Lexapro and she had no sex drive for a year.
Right. And Lexapro might affect you very differently.
And probably kill your sex drive.
Right.
Lexapro.
Might have the same effect.
Yeah.
Consult a doctor. We're not doctors. Yes. Neither here nor there. Also, what do people mean when they say that?
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. I'm just going to – I feel like we need to do a whole episode on sayings.
The next guest will just have to be an English teacher.
Please. Please. We don't know how to speak. I need something. No, but I think, you know, like we, for this, when me and you talked last week and we were like, let's go back to the basics, is that we had to hit a point where we were both understanding that there was something that felt off for each of us. And, but the only
way. We triggered each other.
Yeah.
That's how we know.
We were like, we're both feeling
I saw
it.
Oh, you yes. shut down, right?
I was so shut down.
I saw you shut down. I started getting irritable, and it was like, oh, no, no, this is not working, right? And once again,
I turned into like a mute where like I'm
No, it's just a turtle shell.
I'm not speaking.
Yes.
And I'm just looking around.
And we could both tell last week after that day of recording that like this was not working. And so we had an option, which was Jen could shut down completely from me and I could get really mad at her. Mm-hmm. Or we could have a really hard conversation. And the fact of the matter is, when we had a hard conversation, we both were feeling the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, you're worried about upsetting someone else. And often other people are like feeling the same amount of distress as you.
Well, I think a good thing is that like we know each other so well.
And I think that's another thing is like a lot of times people don't really know what you're going through, right? Yeah. So, like, they see your highlight reels or, you know, you meet him in between to, like, catch up at brunch. But so then when you ask them for advice or perspective of something, they're considering from your highlight reels. So it's like, what? You don't need meds.
Yes.
Even if you are suffering so much. You're like, oh, my God, you're really going to go to therapy?
And that could be very invalidating.
Even if it's from your romantic partner, even if it's with someone you live with, it feels like fucking invalidating.
Absolutely. And you know, I think, you know, when our friends are saying that, it's coming from a place of, okay, I
want to normalize it,
right? We want to normalize it, or we don't want you to feel bad, like, mm-hmm. that there's such a stigma about taking care of your mental health that I even feel it sometimes, even as a therapist, like saying out loud, oh, of my therapy session, or I, like, mm-hmm. to people who aren't in the therapy. And then in my mind, I say it because I'm like, oh, that's the stigma that, like, comes up for me.
Yes.
And it's just so interesting that that's still, because I was always taught growing up, even though I went to therapy, that it was something you don't talk about, mm-hmm. or it was almost like a punishment in some way.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. But we hear parents say this all the time. If you don't behave, I'm going to send you to therapy.
I'm going to send you to therapy.
Stop using that. And same thing in couples. Stop threatening your partner with, if we can't make this work, we're going to go to therapy. Not that I've ever done this before.
No, that doesn't feel familiar.
Not at all. Don't use therapy, but
I think there's a way. Gotta go back home and have a new conversation.
But no, it's true. Okay, so I had therapy yesterday,
yes.
and I texted you right afterwards, and my therapist, I like was, you know, just talking about the ongoing pressure of feeling like it has to seem like we have it all together because of this job and profession, and how insanely difficult that can be to hold so much of other people's pain, have our own situation and pain, and feel like you need to like really look very functioning and very much. And my therapist said something that was really important that I needed to hear again, which is what we believe about this show, which is that people are not coming to you for your degree. They're coming to you for your humanity.
It's beautiful.
At the end of the day, we just want to feel another human. If I wanted you just for your degree, you know what I mean? Like, has anyone ever asked you where you went to school?
Never.
I can't ever think of a time. No,
well,
I don't think.
We, you know how
we don't even have our diplomas.
I was
up on
just
the wall.
Gonna
That's
say that. That
mine's, yeah.
I don't mine's like in a drawer somewhere.
I'm sure mine's storage somewhere.
Well, it's just I also think that's an old world way of doing
Despite
therapy,
all
coming
your
diplomas, from this
yeah.
like one up position of like I'm an expert and you're coming to me because I'm an expert. Mm-hmm. But what we have learned and what we preach constantly is that the healing in therapy comes from the connection that you have with your therapist.
Yeah.
Theories are important. Being able to,
it's,
you know,
it's art and education
it's
together.
Art and education. And so, but if you don't connect with your therapist, you are not going to make any progress.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
So you were saying about your therapist, and I think I interrupted you. Oh, that it's the humanity.
Yeah, she said to me, it's the humanity. And she like told me like this really great story that I thought was really important for me to hear about her own disclosure of like how much she was struggling at the beginning of the pandemic. I never asked her if I could talk about this. I'm sure it's fine. She'll love it.
Does she listen to the podcast?
I don't think so. I don't think I've actually ever mentioned the name of the podcast. I don't think it's ever come up.
Yeah, I don't talk about the podcast in therapy either.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Because I think
we have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I have bigger things to talk about. Also, I don't know if I want – I mean, I think – I don't know if I would want her to listen to the podcast –
Why? What would that change for you?
Because I want her to hear what I'm saying.
Oh, not...
And not, like...
See you that way. Yeah.
Or just, like, take it... I want her to hear what I'm saying to her as opposed to... Which I think is common for clients, right? Like...
We wouldn't Google our clients.
We don't Google our clients for that specific reason. Mm-hmm. And we have learned that's not helpful for our clients, for us to develop a different perspective of them than what they're presenting, because that's what matters.
If a client came in and was like, oh, I wrote this poem and it would really mean a lot for you to read it, that is something we'd 100% do.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to do anything else. Like, what you come into the room is, like, how we're going to see you.
I think that's an important thing to let people know, is that, like, we don't look our clients up for...
Do you think people think that?
100%.
Oh, no, we don't look you up. That would be weird for us.
Would you ever think that your therapist would look you up? As a therapist, right? Like, as a therapist going to another therapist?
Do I think that my therapist... No, I do not think my therapist would care at all. If you knew my therapist, you would understand she would not give a fuck to do that. No, but I think it's hard for us because... yours is different. We know so many people. Like, literally, one of our clinicians came to us today and was like, who do you guys go to therapy? I can't find anyone I don't know.
That's what's hard.
And so it's really difficult to find a therapist as a therapist.
Also, like, referring any of your family members to a therapist.
Real fucking difficult.
Because it also has to be someone you don't know.
Yes, it's very confusing.
Very confusing.
So, no, I do not think my therapist has literally ever thought to. But I found my therapist was recommended to me from my supervisor.
Right. And you have to find someone who knows someone.
That's the only option. I have no idea what this was about.
Same.
Even how hard as a therapist it is to find a good therapist. You know, like, it's not, we don't have some secret fucking magical thing. We have to do the same damn thing, which is, like, search on the internet and find a good match. It's exhausting too.
We just talked about, like, we've gone through so many different therapists.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
I mean, like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I've, like, ghosted therapists before. Like, I've done not ideal client behavior.
I know. And then when it happens to us, I'm like, it's karma. Karma, it's coming right back to me.
Right back to me. Because when I was 21, I no-showed that therapist and didn't pay the fee.
Total karma.
It's before credit cards were on file.
Oh, God, makes it so much more difficult.
So, I don't know. I guess the whole point of this fucking episode is nothing changes if nothing changes. And a lot of times we're so scared to do something different and what that's going to mean, whether that's meds, whether that's therapy. And I don't know, there's something... to saying to yourself, you deserve peace.
Yes.
Whether that is going on meds, whether that's going to therapy, whether that's keeping this completely private, that you deserve, especially in the absolute mind fuck that has been the last year and a half, you deserve some goddamn clarity.
Absolutely. And for anyone who says to you, oh, don't go on meds, I don't want you on meds, or like, you don't go to therapy.
I mean, I've heard quite a few people that their partners have brought it up.
Because there's a fear that it's going to affect their partner in some way.
Well, I think there's a fear for a lot of us, especially for very creative people. Remember that time we went to the Barnes? Were you there? We went to the Barnes exhibit and it was about all mental health and all the artists.
I've definitely been to the Barnes.
I think you were with me.
Was I?
It must have been like a decade ago.
I think it was.
And there was, like, this exhibit on, like, mental health and artists, and it was, like, talking about how, like, Van Gogh was 100% in this day and age be diagnosed as bipolar, and, like, how there's just, like, there is, like, a big stigma of going on meds when you're artistic and creative, and this fear of being numbed out, this fear of, like, am I going to lose myself? Especially for people that are bipolar and really like their manic episodes because they're highly productive and they feel great, and there's a fear like if I give that up, do I lose this huge part of myself? Who am I? And that's something that's, like, really important to process with a lot of space about that fear.
And I think too, you know, like, if you just think about art, whatever art it is, that you art can be a way of coping with some really deep, difficult emotions, where you're basically pouring the emotions out in your artwork, and it can create something, like, very beautiful that connects to other people. And so I think that's a very valid fear, that, like, what happens when I'm not experiencing these high highs or these low lows, and how will that affect the way in which I'm expressing myself through my art? And art can be anything, right? Whether it's, like, singing or painting or... I don't know. What else do people
those
do?
Those are two artistic arts.
That's it. Those are two.
Macrame, Jen.
And listen, my macrame.
You're so talented.
I stopped immediately.
That's such an ADHD thing so to bad. Do, right? I mean, that's like another thing to talk about right now of like the amount of people that are diagnosing themselves with ADHD due to TikTok.
So true.
Right? Which is, hey, I think that one, ADHD is often overdiagnosed in children and underdiagnosed in adults.
Absolutely.
And so there's a big thing now where a lot of people are watching this and it's like, holy fucking shit, I think I'm a little bit neurodivergent. I like yes. My brain works a little bit differently, which is totally cool, which is totally great. And then it's like, well, do I go take a med for this?
Right.
And that's a really hard one, especially because meds for ADHD are stimulants, which is also an appetite suppressant. Yes. And so then there's this
and a controlled substance.
Exactly. There's a lot of complex things to go into this. And so, yeah, there's not one right way to do this, but we wanted to just basically have an episode that was a PSA
to destigmatize.
Yeah.
Taking medication.
I take my meds every day. You've tried meds before.
I've tried meds.
I've had negative experiences and now
I had a negative experience, yeah.
I had negative experiences and so I was really scared to do it. Mm-hmm. And you know what the other thing I just remembered as we're sitting here having this conversation, which I didn't even think about before, was I've talked a lot about what my experience was with childbirth and my weight mm-hmm. and like how difficult that was.
Yes.
And just with like ongoing weight bias within the medical community. And I now remember I went on Zoloft for postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. And I remember like when I had asked like, okay, well, what's the side effects of Zoloft, blah, blah. And the doctor said to me, oh, well, your appetite's going to be, you're going to have more of an appetite, but don't worry, you'll lose those calories in breastfeeding.
No.
As if that mattered more to me. Weighing more as opposed to like feeling some type of connection to my child and not wanting to die.
Well, also, you just asked about the side effects. That was the first one
and the only one that she brought up. And I cannot tell you how often that's people's biggest concerns
yep.
because of meds is weight. And so that's something to really think about. If that's your biggest concern and this med works for you and makes you happy and that's the biggest thing.
And changes thing, your entire perspective on life.
You're going to need to look a little bit deeper.
You're going to challenge that. But that is a way the conjunction of therapy and medication can be really helpful where you can bring that to your therapist and say, listen, I understand that medication might be really helpful. These are my fears. Let's talk through this.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Have space for that.
Because you're also allowed to, another reason why this episode might be really helpful, we hope would be helpful, is that if this is bringing up anything for you where you're like, okay, maybe medication would be helpful, but I'm fearful of this, bring that into therapy to talk about. Mm-hmm. Because even though you might be hearing this episode, doesn't necessarily mean you're immediately ready to take medication.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a journey. It's a process. Like, you can process all of those fears with a therapist.
And if you go to your, let's say you want to do your GP because it's easier and a lot of people choose to do that, right? Let's say you go to your GP and you feel, one, they're not comfortable prescribing psychiatric medication, or they give you pushback. Then I guess it's time to find someone else and find a different method. And there's a million different ways. And even if you go, once again, on psychologytoday.com, they should fucking sponsor us. Go on psychologytoday.
100%.
psychologytoday.com. You can put in psychiatrists and psych NPs that tend to be a little bit less expensive, but they are expensive. It's out of pocket.
Yeah.
So that's it. But we're going to do personal versus professional.
I'm ready. Oh, do you have one?
I have one, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, thank God.
So if you are an OG listener from season one at the beginning.
And you would listen to the entire episode.
We used to do personal versus professional. And so we're going to ask a question. We're going to talk about how we would handle it personally and then professionally.
Okay.
So you are thinking about personal versus professional, Jen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You are thinking about going on meds.
Uh-huh.
And your partner brings up the idea of low sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
Personal versus professional. What do you do?
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. I forget what personal versus professional is. Professional, like I'm the therapist telling a client.
Yes.
Okay.
And then personal is like, what would you actually do if you weren't saying the right therapist response?
Okay. So should I start with personal? Because that's the first thing that comes
yes,
to mind.
Yes, then do that.
Okay. So personal, I think I would say, listen, I understand why you would feel that way, but it's something that is going to be helpful for me in so many other ways.
Your personal is so appropriate.
I know. I really think I've really been working on my communication.
Yeah, that would be really good.
And I mean, I think it also depends how they would bring it up, right? Like if they're like free, if my partner's
what
like,
if he, okay, so let's say your partner has a big emotional reaction and they're like, fuck that, then you're never going to fuck me again. Now tell me your answer.
That's a little easier, right? If they're bringing it up to me, and I think I'd probably be reactive back and be like, that's the most important thing to you? Not my mental health. Like, that would probably be my
personal
reaction.
Okay, good. Shame him back into it.
Shame
and
answer it, right. Uh-huh. And then we probably separate for a little bit, which I suggest, and then come back together and be like, listen.
Okay, then it's the calm down.
Then we come back together,
all right?
Professionally. It's like the initial, okay. So professional would probably be the way that I'm describing it, right? To be able to say, hey, you know, like, this is how you would talk to your partner about it. My mental health's really important. Mm-hmm. It's the most important thing. You know, it's the thing that's affecting everything in my life.
Okay.
I understand why that would be a fear for you. It's something we can continually communicate about as I'm trying these different medications.
Okay, so I have another one, and I'll answer it for myself.
Okay, yeah.
Because I just thought of it that I thought was it. Because I think it's good to hear different, sometimes it's good to hear a script.
Yes.
So let's say you go into your doctor.
Yep.
And ask for meds, and they really what you feel like is shame you.
Ooh, how would they shame you?
Let's say they say, have you tried working out? Have you tried just going out in the sun? That's like that. I mean, you know, that's a real thing that happens to people all the time.
Yes.
Have you considered taking walks daily? Have you considered losing weight? Right. These are like all things that are said to people. So personally, 5 years ago, it would have shut down.
Yeah.
Emily today would go find a new fucking doctor.
I think that's incredible.
professionally,
what would you say?
Professionally, my recommendation would be one, to advocate for yourself and say, I would like it noted in my chart that you are unwilling to prescribe me meds I am requesting.
God, that's good.
And recommending weight management. Like, ask for them to write it down in their own records and say that I guess that we're not a good fit together if this is going to be an indicator.
God, that's good. You know, immediately the doctor's going to be like, oh, no.
Of course, right? And that's it. And that was the episode.
That was it. We said 30 minutes. We're a little bit over.
38.
I think we did it.
Hey, glad to be back.
If you think this episode would be helpful for someone you know, someone you love, send it on over to them. If you have any questions, reach out to us. We love you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn, and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiance, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.